why do most humans use their intelligence for the pursuit of trivia as opposed to life-affirming ends? I think, as always, there are a bunch of reasons for this. I think one of them is that oftentimes we use our intelligence for purposes that are worse than trivia but are actually destructive. And there's a great example of this that I found when I was writing The Myth of Human Supremacy, which is that some scientists were attempting to explore how plants communicate threats to each other, so that if one plant is being eaten by a caterpillar and it attempts to communicate this to another plant, how does that happen? And some of the scientists who were doing this were trying these experiments back in the 80s, and they were attacked soundly by the scientific establishment, and they were unable to gain funding to replicate their work. And in fact, one of the scientists ended up leaving science altogether and running a bed and breakfast. And so, and they were accused of this being a, you know, one of the last places where we have to deal with crackpots, basically the last fight between scientific rationality and the mental hospital. And so it occurred to me that if someone attempts to study the relationship between how plants communicate with each other, they're considered crackpots. But if somebody, for example, figures out how to use cyanide to extract gold from rock and leave behind a tailings pond filled with cyanide that's toxic and toxify the entire landscape, you are a genius, and that's considered tremendously innovative. And so what does, if you find a way to extend human control of the non-human world, and also you find a way to make money, either one of those, what you did can be considered innovation. If you discover things that don't extend human control over the natural world or don't make money, you are often considered a crackpot. And we are social creatures, and we are extremely sensitive to social pressure. And if you are pressured constantly to that, what is innovation is something that extends human control of the natural world, and what is helps us understand our relationship to the natural world in ways that can, in fact, interfere with that control of the natural world, then you're considered a crackpot. Of course, most of us are going to want to discover the things that will gain us social credit. I mean, there's a great example of this. It's very simple, which is there have been studies done on little girls in first grade, and they will be just as good at math as the boys in first grade. And by fourth grade, many little girls have learned that they are not rewarded for knowing math answers, and they are rewarded for batting their eyelashes. And so by fourth grade, if you ask those same girl who in first grade could answer difficult math questions, if you ask her in fourth grade, she will bat her pretty eyelashes at you and say, "I don't know." And that's not because she's stupid. It's actually because she's quite smart. And it's because she has been able to figure out what she is rewarded for. I just experienced this with my cats a few minutes ago, that when I eat something, I become my cat's best friend. And even though I don't feed her, but hope springs eternal. And so if I have a plate on my lap, that means that I have a cat right here that I'm having to push away constantly. And she has learned that if I turn on the toaster oven, she's my best friend immediately. She's, you know, we all, this is basically just behavior modification 101. And it's the same. If you are rewarded for building a better mousetrap, isn't that a great thing? Then that's what you'll do. So there's one reason. Another reason is that I love the line by Upton Sinclair, it's hard to make a man understand something when his job depends on him not understanding it. And this explains the stupidity of all of us when it comes to this culture. Can you name any biomes who've been managed for extraction by human supremacists that have not been harmed or killed? No, you can't name a single one. And there's 6,000 years of this pattern. And still, we don't see it. Why not? Because it would interfere with our ability to exploit. And so we don't see it. That's another reason that we attend to trivia. And another reason we attend to trivia has to do with R.D. Lang's three rules of a dysfunctional family. Rule A is don't. Rule A1 is rule A does not exist. And rule A2 is never discuss the existence or non-existence of rules A1 or A2. So what this means within an abusive family is that we can talk about anything we want except for the violence that we have to pretend isn't happening. And so we get really stupid at seeing what is going on. We ignore it, and we do everything we can to ignore it. We do everything we can to occupy our minds so that we won't find it bubbling up during an empty moment. And so we constantly distract ourselves. And I think that is one of the reasons we attend so much to this trivia, is because if we attend to trivia, we are not left alone. And if we're left alone with ourselves and our thoughts, eventually we might have to start to come to grips with what this culture has turned us into and what we have become. And what we are doing, not only to the planet, which is the primary, but also what we're doing to ourselves. You know, I used to have this habit of asking people if they like their jobs. About 90% would say no. And what does it mean when the vast majority of people spend the vast majority of their waking hours doing things they don't want to do? That's a very bad way to organize a society. It's a very bad way to organize a life. And yet, that is one of the reasons that we stay so busy, is because if we had time to think about it, we might think about it. R.D. Lang also came up with this great example of how our discourse often works, and he called it Jack and Jill. And what he said is that if Jack succeeds in forgetting something, it's no use if Jill keeps reminding him of it. And so what he has to do is not merely forget it himself, but to cause her to forget it as well. And there are many ways he can do this. He can do it by belittling her every time she brings it up. He can do it by saying that's not really what happened. He can do it by by telling her that she is abusing him when she brings it up. And it's best if he can do all this under the guise, without saying it directly. He doesn't say, I want you to forget this. I mean, think about this in an abusive relationship. If let's say a man is abusing a woman, and let's say the woman says to him, what you're doing is abusive, oftentimes he can escalate because he doesn't want to be reminded it's abusive. But he won't oftentimes say, you shouldn't say it's abusive. He won't address it directly. You shouldn't say it's abusive because... Well, actually, I'm going to step away from that example. That's an easy example, but there's an even easier one, which has to do with the trans issue that is just taking over the country, taking over North America, that so many of those who identify as transgender they are not allowing women anymore to say pregnant women. They have to say pregnant people. And why is this? It's because if they actually said pregnant women, it would remind them that they are not in fact pregnant, or that they are not in fact women. And they can't have that constant reminder. That's why they have to try to colonize women's bathrooms and women's locker rooms. That's why they say, oh, we're scared to go in the men's locker room, but it's not sufficient to give them a locker room of their own. what has to happen is they have to colonize women because they can never be reminded of what they know in their hearts, which is they are not, in fact, female. They're not, in fact, women. And so everyone else has to pretend. So as to not remind them of what we all know is true. And you see this not just in that issue, but you see this on social justice everywhere, that we can't really talk about how horrible Columbus was, how horrible. We can't talk about the fact that civilization is killing the planet. And if you do talk about it, you need to be silenced through laughing at you, through a quick change of subject. So my point is that thinking about trivia and obsessing about trivia is simply one way for us to continue to occupy ourselves as opposed to facing the truths of what we become.